News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Yesterday saw the Pittsburgh Steelers claim victory at Ireland's first NFL game. But on Friday night, their reserve quarterback, Skylar Thompson, was reportedly assaulted and robbed in Dublin city centre. It's been reported all over the American media. And I'm joined now by Gary Gannon, Social Democrats TD and the party's spokesperson for justice. First of all, good morning to you, Gary. But first of all, your reaction to this alleged assault on Skylar Thompson.
Good morning, Claire, and morning to your listeners. Yeah, look, I think most of us heard the fact that a quarterback from the NFL was over to play a game and was assaulted in Dublin city. And I just think, what sort of city are we becoming at the moment? Look, that's one particular incident, Claire, but I think every single day passes by with, I'll hear something anecdotally, somebody will tell me about an attack, we'll read about the bigger incidents in the paper. Look, a spectre of violence hangs over Dublin city, and there's probably no point denying it. I've raised this consistently, including last week in the Dáil with Jim O'Callaghan, where he has a responsibility for justice in this day. His response to me was to get more positive for the city. I love the city, but there is no denying the fact that it not only feels unsafer for particular groups, it very clearly is unsafer, and we don't have any sort of plan. I mean, just having a positive attitude is not a plan. What we need is a comprehensive violence reduction strategy for the city of Dublin, one that works, is resourced and can be measured. At the moment, we don't have that.
Okay, and I think many people do feel afraid of Dublin currently, Gary. So in a way, I know where the minister is coming from, because he I think that can become a self-fulfilling prophecy. If people are afraid of the city, they won't go into the city. If they don't go into the city, that passive security from people being in the city, law-abiding people being in the city, is lost. So there's something in that. But
is there though, Ciara?
Yeah, you don't agree?
No, I don't agree, because, I mean, I walk through the city of Dublin every single day, like yourself, I'd imagine. I mean, we have places where there's always flashpoints around the city. Walk across the O'Connell Bridge anytime at night, you'll see kind of gangs there.
Yeah.
You will hear from the LGBT community that they don't feel safer. I've heard from a number of different women that they won't come into the city anymore. I heard a friend of mine was attacked last week in the city. The city, it's not just kind of speaking down about the city, it's acknowledging the reality of what is actually happening in their city at the moment. That's a responsibility for the minister, not just to kind of talk about the vibes, it's actually to get in front of the problem. So I was very disappointed with him in relation to that response.
Okay, and fair enough. But there's two aspects, isn't there, generally speaking, to dealing with crime and antisocial behaviour on our city streets. One is sort of reducing the risk of it happening, so working on the causes that lead to it. But one is also dealing with it when it does happen, that the perpetrators, those who are actually causing the problems. Talk to me about what you feel should happen with both of those things.
So anybody engaged in violence in the city centre needs to feel the full consequences of that. Anyone engaged in violence anywhere needs to feel the full consequences of the law. But we also need kind of violence reduction strategies. That's having good interventionist approach. Like, for me, it makes no sense to me that we don't really see kind of youth workers on the street late at night. Places who, people who can kind of know the names of some of the young people who might be involved. We also need people who kind of support people in the throes of addiction. We absolutely need more Gardaí in the street. Jim O'Callaghan might say we've had an increase in Gardaí. I think it's the type and the form of Gardaí in the residential area. It absolutely should take a kind of community approach where you know your guard's name.
I think my guess is the reason we don't have youth workers walking around the streets at night, Gary, is that they would very possibly be afraid.
This is the first time. So actually, in the last couple of weeks, I used to be a youth worker in the inner city. The last couple of weeks is the first time I've actually heard youth workers talking about being afraid. You know, following on from the stabbings that happened last week outside the pub there on the Keys.
Two serious stabbings last weekend.
That was the first time I've heard youth workers actually talking about being afraid while they go about doing the job. So it was a scenario. There used to be a case where youth workers would have had the relationships, they would have known the name. That for me is also a canary in the coal mine, that things have escalated beyond the point what probably many of us even realised. So yes, we need more youth workers on the street working later, being supported by the Gardaí. Look, we need deterrence programmes. We need places where people can go. Because let's be clear, it's not only young people who are engaged in violence or the threat of violence in the city centre. That's a complete misnomer. There's all sorts of complicated factors happening there. I think addiction is one reason. Look, when you go down Temple Bar, look, there's lots of people on the good time. There's lots of people who are probably not were probably there for other reasons.
Gary, so I totally take your point. More youth workers, more community liaison, Gardaí, more investment, more all of those things that would prevent things happening down the line, prevent the causes of all this. But when it does happen, when you do have a gang of feral youths going around maybe on their e-scooters, that gang that stabbed that young man last weekend in the city, the 17-year-old, a young boy, he wasn't a man, he's a child, minor, they were wearing balaclavas. They were a gang operating together. They, you know, frightening stuff. Damn. What should happen when it gets to that point? What kind of punishment, particularly if somebody is an underage offender, a minor offender?
Yeah, so don't get me wrong. I mean, if somebody's engaged in violence to the point where they've stabbed the person, I mean, loss of liberty is the only approach that should happen there for a period of time. What happens while they're in some form of prison or wherever it might be, that for me is where the point of intervention actually becomes more serious. Because we have a scenario at the moment where our prisons are full, but we also have recidivism rates in this country where almost 7 out of every 10 person that goes into a prison will reoffend within, I think it's a 3-year period, but often less time than that. So, I mean, the type of redirection that happens what a young person or an older person is in prison is what we're really failing on here. But our prisons are full. So what we actually need to do is, what can we do to stop that happening in the first place? And look, for me, I'm obviously somebody that I love the idea of sport, but I also know that's not the the panacea, although with a proper investment it can be. We need redirection. We need places where young people can go. We need violence disruptors, people who are youth workers, liaison to guards, who can, look, I often see gangs going down on scooters with balaclavas, flying down Blessington Street into O'Connell Street. I can never understand what actually that isn't, kind of somebody isn't communicating with somebody else there, where the guards can actually go in, intervene there, but not before it becomes out of hand.
Okay.
That for me is where a violence reduction strategy comes in. It's interagency, everybody working closer. That doesn't seem to be happening at all at the moment.
All right. Last question for you on something slightly different, Gary. The Taoiseach is backing Jim O'Callaghan's plan to pay asylum seekers to leave the country. We're hearing amounts of money between €2,500 and €10,000. What's your response to this as a plan to deal with migration?
Look, if I was a listener listening and I go, oh, fair enough. But as somebody who kind of looked at the evidence, looked at the facts, it actually just screams out this idea that people are only here for financial gain, when we actually know the vast, vast majority of cases, people are here who have genuine reason for being here. If their asylum is not accepted, by all means, they should be asked to leave. But in the first instance, we need to be resourcing, so for faster decisions.
You see, when I read that, you said people might think fair enough. I didn't think fair enough at all, because I thought if they are genuine asylum seekers, they should be allowed to stay. And if they're not, they should be made leave without paying them. So who should we be paying? Anybody?
Which is why I called it a right wing dog whistle when I first heard about this yesterday. The idea that we just say €10,000 and you can drop your asylum claim screams out there that there's people here who have taken advantage of the system. I don't believe that's the case. I think what Jim O'Callaghan, Micheál Martin would be better off doing is resourcing the systems that we have in place so we can speed up applications. When people are here, give them the dignity that they need. But this idea that you just put out there that we pay $10,000 and they leave is to give the impression that people are only here gaming the system rather than actually looking
at
what
works. You
would
imagine if people were going to accept that payment, that perhaps they are gaming the system, though.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing how many people accept the payments, because the system at the moment is already very complex. I don't think there's any evidence in any other jurisdiction that a system like this works. I think it's the illusion of action rather than putting the hard work into implementation of the Catherine Day report, state reception centres, quickening up decision processes. This is all the hard work I would love to hear from the Taoiseach. This is just me, it's just for the press release, really.
Look, thank you very much for joining us this morning. That is Gary Gannon, their Social Democrats TD and the party's spokesperson on justice.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.